This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Tavium Plus Vapor Grip Technology Herbicide from Syngenta, the first premixed dicamba herbicide with residual control for soybeans. Always read and follow label instructions. Tavium Plus Vapor Grip Technology is a restricted use pesticide. Vapor Grip is used under license from Monsanto Technology, LLC.
With the markets gearing up for crop progress this afternoon, crop production later this week, I guess it's really no surprise the corn market was on the defensive, along with wheat, which anchored beans. It was a heck of a Monday, even for a Monday.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk with Chris Robinson from TJM Institutional Services Limited. And in the final segment, Kerry Artek from Artek Advisory launches another Artek attack. And right after the news, Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group lends his 2 cents on today's market action. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Laurie.
All right, Davis, thank you so much. Real quick check of the radar. There's some moisture out in central Nebraska, down on the Nebraska-Kansas line.
Okay.
Over through central Missouri, southern Illinois, and into southern Indiana as well. There's some scattered stuff up north. And, you know, there's this big area with no rain in the middle of the country, and you would think, doggone it, I'll bet the sun is shining, and it is
sure.
Beautiful.
Yeah, you would think.
You would think.
And yet.
It's not. I saw a tweet earlier today, and I thought, you know what, this guy is exactly right. It said something like, you know, the final kick in the pants from 2019 weather might be cool, gloomy, and refuses to freeze to help us get along with harvest.
We got 2 months to go yet before we get the final kicks in the pants from 2019. Be careful, you know.
Yeah,
let's not set ourselves up for disappointment coming up here.
No doubt. Yep, corn was under pressure today as nickel 6 cents lower in the corn market. Yeah. Soybeans, I think soybean oil helped it out. I mean, it had to. Soybean oil was like 80 points higher. Whenever I see a move like that, I'm waiting for export news. I'm waiting for something on the biodiesel tax credit. It just feels like I'm missing something with what is going on in the soybean oil market right now. Mm-hmm. But meal was under pressure. Wheat was under pressure. Live cattle actually didn't close too poorly. It was a nice close with some moderate gains there. Feeder cattle were mixed. And lean hogs, I'm going to go ahead and call them mixed. They were mostly lower, but that D's contract did inch to the upside in today's trade.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be talking about livestock today. We're going to be talking about the grain markets today. We've got Chris Robinson on today. It's going to be a lot of fun. We haven't had Chris on for a while, so I'm really looking forward to this conversation. I know that they have been looking at some hedging opportunities in the soy complex here lately, so I want to talk about that with Chris today.
Sounds like you've got high hopes we can run the table on the grains and the livestocks today. If there's time.
That's what I'm shooting for.
All right,
buddy, what was moving the markets?
Export inspections of wheat in the weekend at October 31 totaled just over 293,000 metric tons. That fell well short of trade expectations. Traders also pointed to lower corn prices as a source of pressure on wheat futures. Many see a lack of fresh export news as a source of pressure on wheat prices, but bigger than expected wheat export sales in two of the past 4 weeks didn't really improve prices in wheat futures either. So not really sure why traders are focused on lackluster exports, but ignore weeks with strong sales. Seems a little convenient to me, Chip. These hardwood futures.
That's exactly right. It's frustrating, Davis. Mm-hmm. It is so frustrating, and a part of it comes down to, we've talked about it several times, a lot of the export activity is not for U.S. wheat, but that doesn't mean that it's not a positive for U.S. wheat prices.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's been difficult to find and maintain that upside momentum in the wheat market.
Yep. Well, December hard red futures today, 3 cents lower, 423. D soft red off 6 1/4, 509 3/4. December spring wheat off 7 cents to 524 1/4. Corn export sales are slow, and compounding the slow sales pace is an exceptionally slow shipping pace. In the weekend of October 31, U.S. exporters shipped just under 276,000 metric tons of corn, well below trade expectations. Traders started a new week of corn trade on the defensive, much of that driven by expectations that corn harvest could approach 60% complete as of yesterday, and by private estimates of a higher-than-month-ago national average corn yield coming in Friday's crop production report from USDA. December corn futures were 6 cents lower at 383 and a quarter. March corn dropped a nickel to 393 and a half. May corn, $4.5, down 4 cents on the day. Hold on, May, $4.5.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, when we've got the D's contract down there at 83 and a quarter, with as much pressure as we had to start the week, it feels like this weekend's harvest activity was much greater than what was pre-hedged going into the weekend. So there may have been some catch-up hedging that had to take place in this market to start the week.
All right. Well, Chip, beans did try to trade higher, but lower corn and wheat prices anchored bean prices. Optimism was generated by this morning's export inspections report that showed bean loadings of 1.48 million metric tons, which was in line with trade expectations. Optimism that phase one details of the trade agreement between the U.S. and China are coming together quickly also helped the bean market trade higher. In this afternoon's crop progress report, traders are looking for bean harvest to be about 77% complete, and in Friday's crop production report, traders are looking for another downtick in the national average soybean yield. November bean futures a penny and a half higher, 925 and three quarters. Jan beans firmed 1¼ cents to 938. March beans closed at 951 and a quarter, up 2 cents on the day. A million and a half metric tons, still not enough to impress the market.
No, absolutely. And you know, it's the phase one now. If we don't get that phase one signed, if that doesn't happen, I think that's going to be real problem for this market going forward. Let's get to the livestock at the start of the next segment, because I want to get Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group in here. Jack, you know, hey, how's it going this week?
Well, we're off to a kind of a chilly and chilly start here, but it's been a lot nicer than it was last week so far. Anyway, I guess.
Yeah. So I look at this corn market, and I had kind of a high range close, or high range open, low range close. And I want to be really disappointed in the way that the market traded, but then you look at the chart and we're still stuck in that same 20-cent range.
I agree. I was just looking at it myself, and I'm like, you know, for all, as heavy as this thing felt today, we're still in that range. If we can pull away, pull a little bit higher tomorrow, then maybe we're going to be okay, at least through the end of the week. And, we'll find out if we can or not. There's still a lot of corn harvesting going on, and a whole lot of soybean harvesting going on. Yeah. And I think we're feeling a little bit of that pressure. But in another couple of weeks, most of that should be done, and maybe that's positive for coming down the road.
Yeah. The other thing that strikes me about this corn market right now, Jack, is all year long we've talked about it's a supply side issue. It's a supply side market. The big question is what the yield's going to be. And now all of a sudden we get to within a few days of the November crop production report, and all I'm hearing is, it doesn't matter if they take a couple of bushels off. It really isn't going to matter. How do we make that conclusion?
Well, we make it because our export demand has been really pretty pathetic so far this year, and that's been the big issue. I think the ethanol demand can come back, but we're losing corn export demand. We need to find a way to get that back, and I think that's the point that the market's trying to make. If we can find that demand again, or at least see it start to pick up, get a little bit better, then that'll be a positive. They taken as a positive sign, because people are so bearish about the demand side of the market right now.
Jack, thanks for putting that in perspective for me. I appreciate it. Thank you, buddy.
My pleasure.
All right, that is Jack Scoville with the Price Futures Group. When we come back, it's time for a conversation with Chris Robinson from TJM. We're talking with Paul Luchin, Syngenta Seed Care Specialist out of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Paul, why should wheat growers use a seed treatment? Which product do you recommend?
Yes, we here at Syngenta, we recommend that wheat growers use our product called Cruiser Max Vibrant Cereals. But mainly, we need seed treatments out there, because what happens is below ground is as important as what's going on above ground. Yeah. And we don't always see what's going on below the ground. But Cruiser Max Vibrant Cereals contains three fungicides plus one insecticide. One of those fungicides is called Vibrance, and that gives us a bigger, healthier root underground. And then on top, we also see that Cruiser, the insecticide portion, gives us more vigor in that plant. And with a more vigorous, healthier plant, that's going to give us more potential for a better yield.
Gotcha, gotcha. But what if you've got aphid, hessian fly, wireworm? What can you do then?
Yes, absolutely. That's when we recommend that growers, depending on the situation, if they've got heavy aphids, hessian fly, or a heavy wireworm infestation, we add additional Cruiser. Cruiser is very water soluble, moves up into the plants, and helps keep those insects from damaging that plant.
Excellent. It's a tailor-made formulation there. I love it. Paul, what kind of performance have you seen with Cruiser Max Vibrant Cereals in the South Dakota area?
Yeah, tell you what we've noticed. Since we've introduced Cruiser Max Vibrant Cereals, we've noticed that the wheat comes out of the ground more uniform. We've got a healthier plant, and what that does is help that plant survive the winter. And when spring rolls around, it's actually more vigorous. It takes nice. Off, and that gives us the potential for higher yield.
Excellent, Paul. Thank you. That is Paul Luchin, Syngenta Seed Care Specialist out of Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. Dalaro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. Dalaro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. Dalaro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910.
This just in from the front lines of the fight against tough weeds in soybean fields. Growers have taken the next step with the ultimate secret weapon. Fierce brand herbicides from Valent USA. These pre-emergence herbicides protect soybean fields with multiple effective modes of action, residual control that lasts up to 8 weeks, and fierce resistance management to help you win the battle against resistant weeds and the war. Ask your retailer or visit valent.com/fierce to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions.
You can't see them, but they're coming for your soybeans. Pythium, Phytophthora, and soybean cyst nematodes are serious threats, and they require serious seed protection. Valent USA has developed a 1-2-punch defense so growers can take the next step in soybean protection. Intego Sweet Soybeans has 4 powerful modes of action against insects and diseases that work in tandem with Aveo Easy Nematicide to stop soybean pests and diseases before they strike. Find out more at soybeanprotection.com. Always read and follow label instructions.
New Dalaro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you achieve personal best yields.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you could join us today. Before we get to the conversation with Chris Robinson, let's go ahead and go over that livestock news, Davis.
Yeah, you bet. Well, let's see. Cattle ground to the upside with last week's gains in the cash cattle market providing support to futures. Sorry, I got a whole thing going on here right now. I don't have my glasses on. Here we go. December cattle, 55
cents. That we got
and then
in
I
the
couldn't
way.
Find them. Yeah, I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention. I'm like Velma on Scooby-Doo right now. Where are my glasses? Jinkies. December cattle, 55 cents higher today, 120.07 and a half. February cattle futures gained 37 and a half cents to close at 124.60. November feeders slipped a nickel to 149.07 and a half. And finally, on the snout side, the balance between record hog slaughter and solid pork demand kept hog trade choppy today. December hogs were 7.5 cents higher at 64.52 and a half. February lean hogs fell 67 and a half to 71.90. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Dave.
I was eating Mentos during the commercial break, too. I mean, this
I was
is the perfect
ask if
storm.
It was some Culver's custard.
Yeah, there's still some Mentos going on here. I got to go.
Right. That's fantastic.
They're so tasty.
Yeah. Let's bring in Chris Robinson. Chris is the Managing Director for Agriculture and Commodities at TJM Institutional Services, LLC. Chris, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Chip, good to hear you. Great day. Good to be in touch.
Yeah, man, it is. It no doubt about it. So, I'm looking at this cattle. I want to start with cattle if we can.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this cattle chart. Dease contract first close over $1.20 since like April, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Great recovery. Really tore the face off of anybody that got too bearish after the. The fire, the Tyson fire, that was, you know, ironically, that was within a week or two of the stone cold low. And then we've gone vertical since then. And so just a great recovery and a great pricing opportunity for a lot of ranchers. Just to show you, lots of times it's always darkest right before the turn.
Yeah. So, you know, they factor in that fire and you get that hard drive to the downside. And even on the daily chart, it's hard to argue that this is not a V bottom, and you look at it on the weekly and you can kind of see the V. This cattle market seems to have done it again with another V bottom in here. It's really pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I like to look at the longer term charts too, the weekly nearest. Yep. If you step back and take out the kind of take the 30,000 foot view, I know it's hard for a lot of people because you get day to day caught up in what's the next tick going to be. Mm-hmm. But it's been a good recovery off of. Basically, if you look at the weekly charts, you know, we were at 10-year lows. So we've got about another $3 or $4 to go before we hit some other technical resistance. There's a bear trend line that goes way back about 5 years. So we'll see if we can breach that. I mean, the positive, what's positive? Well, you've got the managed money. They bought another 10,000 contracts last week. They're getting long. So remember, you know, last year, 2018, you know, we had that good rally. And a lot of that rally was created by the investment community. They bought every dip. So
yep.
I try not to dig too deep when you get a gift like this. Maybe at 6 months or 7 months from now, we'll know exactly what was going on here, why we had this rally. But it's just been a tremendous rally, not only for the live cattle, but for feeder as well. If you look at the deferred months for feeders, they've gone vertical. So just a good opportunity. And I always try and you know, tap guys on the shoulder and take advantage of it.
You know, yeah, and especially when you consider the fact that when we were coming out at Labor Day weekend, Chris, we were, what, 20, 22 bucks? And cash market may have been even more than that. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah, 20, 22 bucks cheaper than what we are today. It's easy to look at it and say, $1.20, you got to hedge it. There's money to be made, but you still got to pencil them. You still got to pay for the feed. You still got to pay for the calf. You still got to pay for all that stuff.
Yep.
But at least there is an opportunity in here to put some black on the bottom line that these feed yards haven't had for at least two turns and maybe three turns.
Yeah, absolutely, and we did it all really. The last cattle on feed was kind of neutral bearish. I mean, so I like that when the market gets neutral bearish news, shakes it off, and everybody's trying to scratch their head. Well, why is this happening? I, you know, at the end of the day, ranchers and cow-calf guys. You're always long. You own the cattle now. You own all the cattle you're going to own for the next, you know, 20, 30 years of your life. So when you get these types of rallies, I think it's an opportunity. You don't have to cap the upside, but you certainly can pencil in your break even, because we've seen how this stuff turns before. I mean, it just turns on the silliest stuff sometimes. And at the end of the day, it's a good rally. Don't let it get away from you.
Yeah. So does the fund long in cattle scare you?
Well, you know, if they're only long 40,000, I mean, if they really want to get after it, they've got some deeper pockets to go. You got the stock market making record highs. So when that happens, lots of times they'll try and pull some money off and throw it into commodities. You know, I think all of us would like to see a return to where we were back in 2012 when we were at the top of that commodity super cycle where they were falling over themselves to own commodities. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully, you know, we've turned the corner. That could be something where that might end up coming to fruition one more time. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I look at the managed funds. They're like a force of nature. And when they're going your way, you're your best buddy. There's always the risk that something happens and, you know, they need to get out. But it really is something that I don't care what you're trading, corn, wheat, beans, cattle. If you're unaware of how the managed money is sitting, I think you're doing yourself a disservice.
Yeah. You know, and I don't want to antagonize anybody by saying this. Okay, Chris. But if you would flip this chart upside down, there'd be calls for investigations into what is happening in the cattle market.
No, we were just there 2 months ago,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. That's the kind of rally this is. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think I saw somebody mentioned something like that on social media. They're like, well, you know, if this rally keeps going, you're going to have the Packers investigating who's creating this rally, right? So somebody's, you know, it is a zero-sum game. And certainly the farmers and ranchers, you know, this is your time to shine. So like I said, it's a good rally. But, yeah, you're right. If we had turned this upside down, there, you definitely would have some pressure on.
Well, there'd be blood in the streets.
There would be. Would be.
Yeah, it would be ugly out there. All right, now on this on the hog side of things, I'm not all that excited about these hogs at 64.5. But when you get me out to that May contract at $85, you get me out to the June contract at $90, you get me out to the July at $91. Mm. All of a sudden, I'm kind of excited about some opportunities in hogs too.
Absolutely, you got to look out there and. When you get a rally like that where we're challenging contract highs, I try not to get too caught up in all the ins and outs of the technical analysis. But, you know, if you look at a chart, it is a picture, and it's a momentary point in time. And we've certainly gone out there, if you look at those deferred months, and gone up and bounced up right against what was old contract highs. Mm-hmm. And what's driven us? Well, obviously, the whole world's aware of the fact that China's going to continue to buy our pork. They haven't caught up quite to where they were in 2017. They used to take, I think it was about 17-18% of their imports came from the U.S. They're even right now, they're about 8. But it had just gotten down to about as low as 2%. So that's their percentage of imports. So they don't buy pork just from us, unfortunately. Right. So that's a good indicator. The demand is certainly there. Sometimes, though, these markets get ahead of themselves. When you start seeing too many stories in the national media, I'm talking about if you have, you know, some newspaper in Los Angeles or the New York Times or, you know, people that normally don't care about what's going on with the price of lean hogs, when they start talking about it, it can be kind of late in the day. And that's what it feels like. We could have come a little too far, a little too fast. But at the end of the day, it's given producers a great opportunity. And I'll say this about lean hogs. There's still... You know, we've been so lucky that we have not had any of the ASF come into North America. You know, and I was talking to a producer friend of mine the other day. I'm like, you know, if that ever happened, he said, don't even think about that because it really would, decimate, you know, our production. So the USDA is doing a great job keeping that virus out of, our pork production line. Mm-hmm. And let's just hope that it keeps going because at the end of the day, that's been the number one driver both good and bad, for the last year and a half.
Yeah, yeah. We cannot let our guard down in this country. You cannot let your guard down as an individual hog producer. You need to keep your biosecurity measures have got to be higher than they've ever been.
Absolutely.
To make sure that we keep this ASF under control. Okay, so we've got a couple of markets here where producers need to be on guard. You need to be looking to potentially lock in some prices. I want to ask Chris, how? Is it a futures trade or is it an options trade? Are there some options opportunities here?
The mighty Prosaro, king of fungicides. Its fast action and long residual make it the keeper of grain quality and yield. The hammer of head and leaf diseases. The number one reducer of scab. When your goal is greater wheat quality and higher yield, use Prosaro fungicide. And the crown of higher profit will be yours. Learn more at Prosaro.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Five conferences, one location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the five highly regarded top producer conferences, Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and, for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
Tech Talk, Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught joins us now. Dan, what's the market move that matters most today?
Hey, Chip, I'm looking at January soybean futures today. The most active January bean contract recently shifted between a June high at $9.59 per bushel and an August low at $8.66. It retested the June top in mid-October, but bulls couldn't trigger a breakout, so the market tested underlying support late in the month. In fact, the Jan future made a run at 40-day moving average support around $9.25 on Halloween, then bounced. It tested resistance at its 20-day MA around 942 today, but set back and essentially matched its 10-day MA at the close. This seems like a classic pattern of a market working its way higher, which suggests it will make another run at the summer high in the days ahead. But it's got to top the short-term moving averages to make that happen.
Yeah, okay. Very good. Thank you, Dan. That is Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught. Pro Farmer members, get your daily advice updates at profarmer.com.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you could join us today. I'm your host, Chip. Got Davis with me, and we are talking with Chris Robinson today. Before we get back to Chris, let's go ahead and get a recap of how the markets closed.
Okay, I'm ready. December hard red futures were 3 cents lower at 423. December soft red futures fell 6 1/4 to close at 509 3/4, Chip. December corn futures, 6 cents lower, 383 1/4. March corn off a nickel, 393 1/2. November bean futures were 1 1/2 higher at 925 3/4. January beans firmed 1 1/4 cents to 938. December cattle were 55 cents higher at 120.07 1/2. November feeders slipped a nickel to 149.07 1/2. And December hogs were 7 1/2 cents higher, 64.52 1/2. That's your quick market recap. I'm going to get back to my Mentos. Chip.
All right. Thank you, Davis. And I want to get back to Chris Robinson. Chris is the Managing Director for Agriculture and Commodities at TJM Institutional. Chris, we are going to get to grains. I promise you there.
All right.
And we are going to get to strategies. But before we do that, swung around during the break, checked out where the Dow is trading. We've got the Dow at all-time highs.
Yeah.
And at the fear of sounding all Clinton-esque on you, when we look at this cattle market, is it just so simple that we should just be saying, hey, it's the economy, stupid? That's what's driving this thing?
You know, I also, too, think since we're getting to that time of the year, right, where if you sit on your hands this year, got to remember where we were last Christmas, right? We were on, 20% off the highs. A lot of people got very upset and got out of the market. But if you look at the recovery we've had off those lows, if you miss that, then now it's the FOMO, right? Fear of missing out.
Right.
You could have some people chasing that thing into the end of the year. And, is it going to continue to go higher? Yeah. But calling a top can be as dangerous as calling a bottom, So right now I think that we've gotten through October, right? Everybody always talks about October and how dangerous it is. I just remember, again, I flash back to last year where between Halloween and Christmas, stock market lost 20%, and it was looking really, really bad. So a good recovery. I think the driver has got to be, obviously, the Fed. The Fed cut the rates 3 times this year. So they listened to President Trump, obviously, begrudgingly, and that seemed to, keep things going. So like everything else, though, it's always nice to be long at the top. And every night we go to bed, there's always the risk there's some tweet storm or something happens and, we could have a correction. That's always out there. But I think long-term stock market, you kind of have to take the view of Warren Buffett types where, Warren Buffett buys a stock and he says, I don't care if they shut the exchanges down for 5 years, So it just depends on what your time frame is. If your time frame is 6 months, then, you may have some issues here if we have a crackback. But if it's, 5 years, 10 years, I think that over the long run, it's a good place to be.
Okay. All right. Good stuff, man. Strategies on cattle and hogs. If a grower does want to go ahead and lock in the prices that are available to them right now, is this a straight futures move or are there some opportunities and options?
Well, there's always opportunities and options. It just depends on how much money you want to spend and what level you want to protect. I generally don't like to spend, more than about 3 cents a hundredweight and look for an opportunity to set a floor and then keep the upside open. If you're disciplined with that type of strategy, if we have another $20 rally in fat cattle, you may have 3 cents into a put and lose the put, but you make all that money, on the board price.
Right.
Now, I've got a lot of guys that a lot of cattle producers like to trade the board because they want they don't mind the risk. They don't mind it. As long as they're making money, they're fine making the margin calls. Mm-hmm. And that certainly, is one way to go. But I think when you're near contract highs, that is like your friendly neighborhood, it's a gift. So if you don't mind reaching out there and locking in that floor, I think it can be a great opportunity. That's when I like the options, when you can reach out for 6 months and protect a good level and really only tie up, $1,500 or $2,000 a contract and leave the upside completely open.
Right.
That's the best strategy, really. But
gotcha.
There's always the rub. You've got to be willing to lose the premium on the put. Most guys don't like that. Most guys want to make money in the pen and on their hedge. And I've been doing this for 33 years, and I still haven't figured out a way how to do that. So
yeah,
this is the way it goes.
Yeah, the only time that maybe there's an argument to be a little disappointed that you lose that money on a put option is if the market closes at your strike price and takes and drags it down to zero.
But
if you're losing money on that option a month before expiration, you ought to be jumping for joy because you're making it up someplace else.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And when you have volatile markets, it's a good strategy. And obviously, when you've rallied $22 in 2 months, I call that a volatile strategy. I think anybody that was short futures for the last 22 bucks probably wishes they had a put on and lost the 3 cents on the put. And, you know, we rallied 20 bucks or 17 bucks ahead on the game. That's when it's a great strategy. But at the end of the day, when the market corrects, that's, you know, everybody, you never have enough puts on, and that's when everybody that has puts on wishes they had futures on. But it is just it's a choice that you've got to be willing to make. And like I said, when it's giving you time to buy 6 months, 7 months, 8 months worth of time instead of four, mm-hmm. I like to use those options as a sell stop too. I mean, they can be a resting sell stop. And you can always turn them into futures if you want to later on.
Right.
And it's much cheaper and you don't tie up the margin. And again, you know, who am I to say that there isn't another $15 to go? And if there is, then, you know, I want my producers to benefit from that. I want them to make money when the bull market's going.
Gotcha. We need to switch over to grains here.
Yes, sir.
Jack and I were talking about it at the start of the show. You got this 20-cent range going in D's corn right now,
yeah.
Chris. And today it felt heavy, heavy, heavy. And in reality, we're just getting back down to the bottom of the range, right?
Yeah, I mean, we had a 50-cent rally off the bottom, right? You got to remember that. So,
yeah.
You know, we couldn't get above $4 for more than about 2 or 3 minutes. And we're kind of sitting there at this 385 level. And, you know, we're probably going to chop around between now and Friday. Everybody knows the funds. They're only short 85,000 contracts. That's not a lot. They could buy that back in 3 days if they needed to. They're long about 75,000 soybeans, so they're trying to catch that. And if you look at the two markets, which one's probably the one that's worth protecting?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, I would say probably soybeans more than anything is at the top of a dollar range.
Yeah.
You know, when corn, you know, is at the top of a the 50-cent range would have been obviously nice. Hindsight's always 20/20. Look back and say, I wish I'd have moved more grain. But right now, with us sitting at 380, what's your risk? 30 cents? You know, you don't want to get caught up spending too much money in a put to protect 30 cents worth of downside risk.
Right.
But, you know, I would tell my guys to have something on akin to like a, you know, disaster put because, you know, the last couple USDAs, the last USDA, we were limit down almost. And then 2 days later, we were making new highs. So in a volatile market, having a cheap put option on can be a great way to go. And now with these weekly options, you can have something on where you don't have to spend up very much money at all, 2 or 3 cents. That's a strategy I like. When you know you have these reports coming down that, you know, it's like you're playing Frogger. You got to cross the freeway, and they're coming
yep.
at you. It makes sense to have a little something under there just in case, it's a bearish number. You know, that's really what it comes down to. At the end of the day, the setup is there. You know, we don't need much kerosene on the fire to turn this thing around. We're just waiting for that type of demand. That's what Jack was saying. I completely agree with him as well.
Yeah.
And you know, we also need to get this USAA deal done. That would really help demand. Our two biggest trading partners really are Canada and Mexico.
Oh, you know, the USMCA.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. USMCA, excuse me.
Yeah.
And the China deal, you know, my feeling on that is they're probably going to string it out till they see who wins the next election. They have a 1,000-year horizon. We've got, you know, we've got a 100-day horizon. They're playing a little different game than we are.
Yep. Yep. It certainly feels that way some days.
Right.
No doubt about it. This is, to me, Chris, this is an interesting time of the year because when we talk about which crop we're really focused on with farmers, we're still looking at the crop that is being harvested.
Mm-hmm.
But for somebody, for many in the market, we're already looking past this year's crop to the upcoming year crop. Where do you fit in that focus?
Well, 2020 beans are, again, they're at the top of a dollar range near their contract highs. They've had a lot of difficulty getting through that $10 level out there. And if you look at that and pull up a chart, don't take my word for it, go look at November beans 2020. That's something worth protecting, right? And again, with the short dated options and everything else that's out there, you can get some good protection on, because that's a dollar a bushel on how many soybean bushels you're going to grow. That's worth protecting. If you look at new crop corn, I mean, I think everybody else is in the same boat. If you look at these 2020 corn, it's been at 25-cent trading range for a long time. So how aggressive do you want to be protecting a 25-cent window, right? Not very. But right now, the market's giving you an opportunity to protect certainly $4 on the board. I was looking at some stuff earlier for some clients of mine. You know, you could protect $4 corn for 2020 for about 80 days, which would get you through all these numbers, get you through the January report. And literally, it's like 4 or 5 cents. So
wow.
When you've got a dollar's worth of risk, it's probably worth spending, you know, 10 or 15. But when you've got 25 cents worth of risk, I would not spend more than 3 or 4. And I just set it and forget it.
Gotcha. Great conversation, Chris. Thank you much for making time.
Thank you.
Oh, man. Thank you so much. That is Chris Robinson. Chris is the Managing Director for Agriculture and Commodities at TJM Institutional Services. When we come back, Carrie Artak, Artak Advisory.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
For the first time ever, Hemp College will be co-hosted with AgTech Expo, and Indianapolis will be the one location for both technology and hemp production. The Hemp College panel of experts will cover a variety of topics focused on agronomics and marketing of industrial hemp. Then switch into AgTech Expo with more than 25 educational breakout sessions covering precision ag, usable data, machinery demos, sustainable technology, and more. Sign up for both events now at farmjournalagtech.com.
Mr. Chairman, as a corn root, I speak for millions of my kind who can't be here to defend themselves. Pests are stalking our stocks and undermining our roots. Yes. But we can elect to protect with a legacy of strength. Poncho Votivo 2.0 seed treatment system increases nearby microbial activity to help us grow stronger. That's smart. Ladies and gentlemen, please, this is a corn roots movement. Ask your BASF seed advisor about Poncho Votivo 2.0 seed treatment. Always read and follow label directions.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Pivot BioProven is the first ever nitrogen-producing microbe that supplies nitrogen directly to the plant, helping maximize yield. Just ask Zach from Oklahoma.
The average was about a 5 to 6 bushel an acre benefit. Not only is that more money in my pocket, but it's less money I had to spend on fertilizer and wear and tear on my side dressing sprayer.
Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for. The nitrogen that stays put, whether or not.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-806-9013.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-806-9013. That's 800-806-9013.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
You're listening to the new AgriTalk with Chip Flory and me, the handsome newsman, Davis Michelson.
You are one handsome devil of a man, Davis.
If I'm going to, because we're on short time here, we've got an RTAC attack to get to here.
That's right.
Chris Robinson said it wouldn't take much kerosene to set this sucker off.
Yeah.
Well.
You liked that, didn't you?
I liked it a lot. And it feels to me like if you're not ready for that kerosene to sort of fall out of somewhere, you should probably be making some sort of plan, right?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And when he's talking about these prices and the pricing opportunities that are available to growers in cattle and in hogs right now. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I asked him, we're at kind of a pivotal time. Many growers are still focused on that crop that is in the field and that they're bringing in right now for good reason.
Absolutely.
But from a marketer's perspective, sometimes the attention goes out to the crop year that is ahead, and he went right there.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, November 20, bean futures, there's an opportunity there.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you have much of an opportunity in DEES 20 corn futures? Well, that's arguable, but you're not going to kill yourself by doing a little bit on that either.
Sure, you bet.
It was interesting. Let's bring him in, Kerry Artac, Artac Advisory. How are you, Kerry?
I'm doing great, Chip. Thanks for having me again.
Absolutely. Don't forget, everybody, Kerry has a 2-week free trial waiting for you at artacadvisory.com. That's ARTAC advisory.com. Let's get started with DEES corn.
All right, Chip. Yeah, in terms of the bigger picture, I look, just a reminder that in early September, we tested long-term support at 354 even. I maintained a 2 to 3 month upside target at 429 even. So that's still in check. And inside this wide range, a near-term ceiling at 405 half and a near-term floor at 379 even are both able to absorb weekly activity. If this Friday we close the week below 379 even, that would actually indicate a retest, you know, over the next 2 to 3 weeks of that 354 even long-term support, you know, with the broader corn market can bottom out through next year. And as mentioned a moment ago, above which our next 2 to 3 month target upside is 429 even. So that said, you know, while 404 half can contain weekly highs, closing the week Friday above 405 half is ultimately expected. And, you know, if so, you know, that should yield that 429 even long-term target, say, by the end of November, where the broader corn market can top out through winter trade. On to Jan beans. My tune hasn't changed here either regarding the broader bean market. And with regard to the January contract, 927 even can contain selling through the balance of the year. and above which this market should, over the next 2 to 3 months, continue higher to 1001 even. 1001 even is considered a longer-term ceiling able to contain buying into early summer of next year. Downside, a weekly settlement Friday back below 927 even would be considered a valid sign of weakness then through the balance of the year. I'd be off that 1001 even upside target, and then I'd be expecting 857 even to 865 or so over the following 2 to 3 months where okay. The broader bean market can bottom out in the next spring. So we still have a significant pivot point in the upper 920s Jan contracting. We are above it, so still expecting continued upside trade into later year. And okay. Finally, December live cattle. On last week's show, I mentioned that a weekly settlement last Friday above 116.52 would maintain a bullish dynamic through winter trade, and that, of course, did occur. So I remain bullish through the balance of the year, holding above 114.50, which is a couple handles below 116.52. That's 114.50 December contract, the 114.50 level, able to contain selling through winter, and above which 123.87 remains a 3 to 5 week target. The next 3 to 5 months expected to yield 132 even, where the broader live cattle market can actually top out into next summer. Now, it may sound a little robust to consider the 132 handle, you know, a realistic 3 to 5 month target, but, you know, bear in mind that since testing long-term support in early September, the D's contract has rallied 22 full handles from 98.20 to today's 120.32 high. And so we're only talking, you know, another 12 or 13 handles from current price levels before reaching that 132 even target. Downside, if we close the week Friday back below 114.50, that would be considered a failed longer-term buy signal, essentially a valid sign of weakness into later year. The next 3 to 5 weeks then likely to witness a continued price collapse back into the 102 to 105 even region where the broader live cattle market can actually bottom out through winter. But bottom lining, you know, D's live cattle, we're bullish above 114.50, ultimately expecting the 132 handle over the coming months.
Yeah. You know, and the other thing, Kerry, when you talk about that 132 level in cattle, I would assume that you're thinking that it's going to be either the February or the April contract that would do that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I look at the long-term charts and
right.
volume-based rollover. December's reflected there now, but you're absolutely right. I've had conversations today with a number of subscribers who are, you know, sort of scratching their heads because, you know, you've got the February contract is appreciably higher by about 4.5 points. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, the Feb contract could actually wind up testing that 132 handle a little easier than the December contract currently would.
Right. So let's put that in perspective, and that's only $6-7 away. After a $22 rally, another $6 or $7 seems completely reasonable.
Totally. Yeah. Well, you know, I keep saying 3 to 5 months, and then, you know, I actually say possibly within 3 to 5 weeks, we could actually get into that 132 handle. And that's pretty significant. That's a ceiling that could play. That has ramifications well into next year.
Excellent. Good stuff, Kerry. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Chip. Take care now.
That is Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory. Real quick, let's take a look at the National Weather Service 6 to 10-day outlook.
Mm-hmm.
This is for November 10th through the 14th. We've got below normal temperatures expected over the entire Corn Belt. Normal precipitation expected over most of the Corn Belt. If it's not normal, it is slightly above normal. The 8 to 14-day still got those colder than normal temperatures expected. That's for November 12th. Through the 18th, below normal precipitation, NOV 12 to 18 expected over most of the Corn Belt. Here we go. Tweet of the day.
Today's tweets are brought to you by the truths that somebody knows. I would report on who knows what, but when it comes to the what, well, who knows?
Who knows?
Now today's tweets. At Vines and Cattle, live in the pod, eat bugs, watch HBO, don't have kids, don't travel. This is why they killed Bourdain. He knew. At CB Kimbrell, could Democrats and Republicans at least agree to stop this time changing twice a year? My internal clock just doesn't get it. And one more at Oakleyana Farms. Yesterday, the lady in front of me spent $600 on Christmas throw pillows. I don't know who she's trying to impress, but I can almost guarantee it's not her husband.
No, that's right. That's right. All right. Thank you so much for listening today. Also, thank you to Kerry Artak, Jack Scoville, and Chris Robinson. Tomorrow morning, we're talking about the product of USA label on beef. And tomorrow afternoon, Brian Grady and Jeff Wilson from Pro Farmer.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold.
multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
For the first time ever, Hemp College will be co-hosted with AgTech Expo, and Indianapolis will be the one location for both technology and hemp production. The Hemp College panel of experts will cover a variety of topics focused on agronomics and marketing of industrial hemp. Then switch into AgTech Expo with more than 25 educational breakout sessions covering precision ag, usable data, machinery demos, sustainable technology, and more. Sign up for both events now at farmjournalagtech.com.
Thanks to Tavium Herbicide from Syngenta for sponsoring this AgriTalk podcast. With Tavium, time's up for tough weeds. Visit www.syngentaus.com/Tavium to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions. Tavium Plus Vapor Grip Technology is a restricted-use pesticide. Vapor Grip is used under license from Monsanto Technology, LLC.